I welcome everybody back again this afternoon as we gather once again on this Lord's Day to encourage and edify each other and to consider God's Word together. I know this next week, for a lot of people, starts spring break from school. Spring break unfortunately, for our parents or for adults, unfortunately, jobs don't quite work that way. Sometimes we line up our vacations, though, to be able to take off with our kids and be able to go do enjoyable things together as families. But it's important to remember that whether we're at school or at work, or if we're off of work, off of school for vacation, and we're staying in our neighborhoods, maybe we're sticking around town, maybe we're going out of town, it's important that we keep in mind what it is that we're here to do. So often people, they look at themselves when they look in the mirror, and as Christians, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we define ourselves by our names, by our job, by our age perhaps, by our role as a husband or wife or a father or a mother or as a child. Now, a lot of times we get so focused and zoned in on what's happening around us, on what our schedules are, sometimes we forget to define ourselves by the most important aspect of our lives, and that is as Christians. Because no matter what it is we're doing over the course of the day, starting tomorrow, Monday, which is traditionally the work week, when we think about what it is that we're going to do in the morning, when we're getting dressed, when we're shaving, or we're combing our hair, or putting on our makeup, whatever it is that we're doing, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's important that we pay as much attention to what it is that we're hoping to show forth in ourselves within, as so much attention gets paid out on the outside, we need to pay even more attention on what's on the inside, making sure that we're showing forth the character that God expects us to show to others. But in order to do that, we have to define who and what we are. We have to have a clear definition in our minds when we look at ourselves in the mirror as to who we are, so that when we go away, when we leave that mirror, we walk off and we go to work, we go to school, we go on vacation, that we are still that same person that we are told and are shown throughout the New Testament that we're supposed to show ourselves to be. So this evening, for a few minutes, I'd like to consider with you some ways in which we are to define ourselves and defining who we are as Christians. And the first thing we want to consider, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 20, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he tells them in verse 20, "You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. He paid for you, for your soul, with the blood of His Son." And as such, we need to consider ourselves as not being our own. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 17, Peter says, "If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It's important for us to remember that as Christians, we have been baptized into Him. His blood has been sprinkled in our hearts. It has cleansed us of our sins. And so when I go to work, when I go to school, when I go on vacation, when I go to Market Street, wherever it is I'm going, I need to make sure I am consistently the same character of Christian that I am called to be. And of course, that consistently is perhaps the hardest part of that sentence. Being consistent in that mode of thinking of myself as a Christian, of considering who it is and what I'm doing at all times during the day. And maybe we find ourselves on Monday and Tuesday after we've worshiped God on Sunday. Maybe Monday, as difficult as it is to go to work on Mondays, perhaps we find it a little bit easier to stay in a spiritual mindset. But by Tuesday and Wednesday, we're kind of dragging. And that's why part of the reason why we have Wednesday night Bible study, to kind of pick us up a little bit, remind us who we are so we don't forget, because it's easy to forget. And it's hard to be consistent in showing who we are and remembering that we were bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. Earlier in 1 Peter and in verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13, Peter tells the brethren, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I need to remember every moment of every day that I have been bought with a price. Therefore, because I've been bought with a price, there is a certain level of conduct that I need to remember to adhere to, that God has defined for me. But notice how Peter, when he offers this, and of course he's going to go down describing, you've not been redeemed but with gold or silver, but with the blood of Christ. So that's why he says, don't conform yourselves to the former lusts. You've left that way of thinking. A lot of times we think of good and evil in extremes. We think of evil like Hitler, and then we think of good like Jesus, and everybody else is kind of in the gray. But you know what? One sin is still sin. And the way we used to live, and perhaps the way we're still training ourselves to live, we need to remember to do that as God has commanded us. It starts with our mind. It starts with our thoughts. That's why when Peter says, as obedient children, that applies to my conduct, what I say or don't say, what I do and what I don't do. But then he says, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. That goes to my thoughts. That goes to my mindset, my attitude. It then is shown or manifested in my life. But it all starts with what I'm thinking, what my wants and desires are. Verse 15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. When I look at the mirror in the morning, I need to see someone who was bought with a price, who therefore needs to, going back to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, glorify God in my body and in my soul, making sure that they are aware, making sure I am aware and remembering the fact that I am to be holy. And so when I look at myself in the mirror, I need to remind myself that when I am, well, not just when I'm outside the house, but inside the house too, but as I go to work and as I go to school, that I am living the way God has told me to live. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 27, Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which to them is proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Paul wants the Philippians to make sure that their conduct is worthy of the gospel of Christ. When he says worthy of the gospel of Christ, in accordance with what God has specified to us. And that conduct needs to come from one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's important that we remember how we are to live. Our purpose is also important for us to remember. When we consider what our purpose here on this world is, we think of words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting in verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Paul has started chapter 5. He's dealing with the idea of him and those with him, whether they die or remain. And the idea is that no matter what it is, when he says present or absent, whether we're here and alive or not, our entire goal, our purpose in this world is to be pleasing to him. That's it. That's our whole purpose. That's our whole goal. The means by which we please him is through obedient faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul tells the Thessalonians, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Notice as Paul writes this to the Thessalonians, he says, you've received how you ought to walk and please God. Throughout the New Testament, the idea of our walk, the Christian walk, it's not just conduct. It's also our thought process as well. As we walk as Christians, it's what we say, it's how we act, it's what we think. And in doing so, making sure that that walk is in submission to what God has defined, we please him. And the means by which we know what conduct is acceptable and what is not, verse 2, you know what commandments we gave you. In John, 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 2, 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 2, John says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. When John tells the brethren, especially then verse 3, he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. He doesn't say that they're easy. That's not what John says. Because God's commandments are not always easy. We talked about consistency. Being consistent in our nature. Being consistent in our attitude. In our actions and our words. That's difficult. He says the commandments are not burdensome. They are not impossible for us to follow. God gives us the commandments that he gives us, knowing we're capable. We're able to follow his commandments and do so through faith. And through faith and obeying the commandments, we can please him. That's our aim. That's what we want to do. That is our purpose. So when we look in the mirror tomorrow morning, we look in the mirror tonight, we look in the mirror now, remember that you've been bought with a price. Remember the conduct that God expects of us. And remember what your entire purpose here is. Your purpose isn't to have a retirement fund. Your purpose isn't to have a college fund for your kids. Your purpose is not to have fun on spring break. Your purpose is to please God. Under the umbrella of that purpose, there's all kinds of responsibilities that we have based on the roles that we're in as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a grandparent, as a child, as an employee or employer. All kinds of roles. But they all fall under the umbrella of you still need to please God. That is your purpose. And remember that people are watching. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, as Jesus, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's the point. You're the light of the world. Don't try to hide the light. And don't try to turn it off either. The whole point of Jesus describing a city being set on a hill cannot be hidden, the whole point is that it's seen. It provides light. And unfortunately, so often Christians, sometimes we get influenced by those around us and we want to hide our nature. We want to try to blend in. But Jesus says you're not going to blend in. You're the light of the world. You are a city in the midst of darkness. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You don't turn a light on and then try to cover it. You turn it on so that you can see. Our goal should be to help others to see the light of the gospel. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we are living, doing the things that we've just discussed, our light is going to be seen. We shouldn't try to hide it. We shouldn't try to run away from it. We shouldn't try to blend in with the darkness around us. We are the light of the world for a reason. But we're only the light of the world if we're living that way. If we're being consistent by practicing what we preach. What we tell others that God says to do, the consistent nature comes back again. We have to make sure we do it. Because people are watching. People are observing. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 5, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are on the outside, outside of the body of Christ, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The idea of redeeming the time, that comes up in the Ephesian letter as well. And in that context, Paul describes how that we are to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. That, when Paul refers that to the Ephesians, that's an inward sight. You walk circumspectly. You be aware of yourself and your surroundings and the expected behavior and conduct you should have in those surroundings. Be aware of the temptations that are around you. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Here in Colossians chapter 4, Paul then applies the idea of redeeming the time with regard to others. He says, walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside. You make sure that you make the most of every opportunity that you have to talk to others. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Make sure you're aware of what you say and how you say it. Make sure you're aware of your example. Make sure it's consistent with what God expects of us. In John chapter 16 and in verse 33, John chapter 16 and in verse 33, John says these things, Jesus says, John writes, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When we look in the mirror, we need to remind ourselves that we've been bought. Remind ourselves how we're supposed to live. Remind ourselves of our purpose in pleasing God. But also remind ourselves that today, people are going to be watching me. My coworkers, my classmates, my spouse, my children, my family, my parents. People are going to be watching me. And I need to make sure I am prepped. That's why Peter told the saints in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. There is a sense of preparation and determination there. You be prepared, as he goes on to say, be holy. Let all your conduct be holy. It requires having predetermination. Being prepared for whatever temptations may come your way throughout the day. Those events where you're caught in a split second having to make a choice between giving in to temptation or perhaps sticking out like a sore thumb. Jesus says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In the world you'll have tribulation. People aren't going to like you for the nature that you have. Specifically because it convicts them, either in what they're doing or in what they're not doing. And a lot of times that's the nature of the persecution we face. That's how it starts. Our light is shining, and it's shining in places that people don't want it to shine. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, we read that just a moment ago, talking about God's commandments, how they're not burdensome. John says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You can kind of connect this very well to what we talked about this morning. the challenges to a person's faith once they become a Christian and things happen in this world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Doesn't matter what happens. There has to be a sense of determination, a girding up of the mind to overcome. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul, describing in the context of receiving the gift from the Philippians, he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That doesn't come, that lesson, "I know how to be abased, I know how to..." That doesn't come naturally. That comes through experience. Paul had been in places where he was abased and where he was abounding. He had been at times hungry and full. He had been at times abounding in blessings and suffering need. Paul has learned. "I have learned both to be full and hungry. But in the end, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You don't need the approval of your peers at work. You don't need the approval of your friends at school. You need only the approval of God. That's it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Make sure you remind yourself every moment of every day that I can overcome the world. I can. Through Christ who strengthens me. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 8, the final two passages for you this afternoon. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 8, after Peter has described adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, all these characteristics that describes a full character of Christ Jesus, one who is paying attention to brotherly kindness and love, one who's paying attention to virtue and honor, paying attention to faith. After adding these things, Peter says, "If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Which is to say, you will be bearing fruit. You will be bearing fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That knowledge will be producing in you good fruit. A good example. Good conduct among others. Words with grace that are seasoned with salt, having a preserving influence on others. And it'll come naturally. Second nature, once we've trained ourselves to do so. Once we've taught ourselves to think that way. Unfortunately, so often the world tries to get us to think like we've always thought. According to the flesh, according to the way people think in this world. But Peter says, we have to learn to think along the lines of what God wants us to think. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, when Paul, after he says, "Be anxious for nothing, by prayer, let everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He goes on to say, "Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Not sin, not temptation, not all the things I've had to give up. You meditate on godly things. Peter says in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." I want to focus on that word forgotten. Because it's interesting to me here in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter makes a point in both letters. He makes a point to say that I will continue to remind you of these things, and even after I'm gone, I will make sure there's someone else to remind you of these things. Because forgetting is in the human nature. Forgetting who I'm supposed to be, forgetting, you know, all that application I heard on Sunday in Bible class or in a lesson, I need to make sure I work on that this week. But then we wake up Monday morning and we forget that we were supposed to do that. We meant to, but it just never happened. Amidst these definitions of who and what we are, and the reminding of ourselves of who and what we are, we must never, ever forget what it is we're doing. Peter says those who lack these things, they're short-sighted even to blindness, and they have forgotten that they were cleansed from his old sins. Forgotten that the blood of Jesus made me a new creature. I don't think any of us would consciously, willingly forget that. And yet what Peter means is that by our actions or inaction, that's exactly what we do. When we're not growing in his word, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're not putting forth the effort to show forth the characteristics that God wants of us, we forget that I submitted to the blood of my Lord, that I was washed clean and made pure. In James chapter 1 and in verse 22, the last passage for you this afternoon, James says in James chapter 1 and in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." James describes an individual who looks in the mirror and knows who and what they are, and then walks off and forgets. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. That happens sometimes without even us being aware of it. We walk off and forget that we're Christians. All of a sudden, we take on the role, whether it's an employee, employer, mom, dad, husband, wife, we take on that role. That role becomes us. No. We are a Christian. We are a Christian mother, Christian father. We are a Christian husband, a Christian wife. We are a Christian employee. We are a Christian employer. The role that we serve doesn't define us. We define us. We just then fill whatever role it is that is expected of us within the umbrella of being a Christian. That's why James says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, let the word of God be your mirror." Look into the perfect law of liberty, and when you see yourself, make sure you're always seeing someone who lines up with what that word of God says. Because sometimes, that's what verse 22 there is, sometimes we can deceive ourselves, thinking, I'm a Christian, and then we go off and do whatever it is we're doing during the week. And when we think back on what we've done or what we haven't done, what we've said or what we haven't said, what we've thought, when we think back on it, we might be ashamed. Thinking, I'm a Christian, but I didn't really think of myself as a Christian this week. Maybe the only times I really think about myself as a Christian is when I come through these doors and I sit in these pews. And then once I walk out, I forget. That's the lesson for you this afternoon. I think especially before spring break, before all this fun stuff that we have, to have a somber reminder of who and what we are, no matter what it is we're doing in this world, no matter what our responsibilities are, we have to remember every second of every minute of every hour of every day that we are Christians. Make sure we act like it. We're going to sing the hymn number 20 in the supplement, "Remember Who You Are." I love this hymn because, unfortunately, I think maybe we don't hear it enough. Remember who you are. In His image, God created you. In new birth, He gave you life anew. And His matchless love you now proclaim, you must live to glorify His name. You were bought at such an awful price. Christ redeemed you by His sacrifice. You obeyed Him and were freed from sin. Peace and hope and joy and love within. Let your light be bright and ever true. Live so others will see Christ in you. In your life, a sermon sinners see what the Christian life is meant to be. This is who and what we are. And we need to take that with us today, tomorrow, and beyond. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians to become a Christian, to become a new creature in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ. For those of us who are Christians, don't forget that you were cleansed from your old sins. Don't find yourself in the midst of sin again by forgetting who and what you are. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow Him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. If you're subject to the invitation this afternoon, please come forward as we stand and sing.
In His image God created you. In new birth He gave you life anew. And His matchless love you now proclaim. You must live to glorify His name. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow Him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. You were bought at such an awful price. Christ redeemed you by His sacrifice. You obeyed Him and were free from sin. Peace and hope and joy and love within. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow Him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. Let your light be bright and ever true. Live so others will see Christ in you. In your life a sermon sinners see what the Christian life is meant to be. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow Him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are.